This morning, you're about to open your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Again, this is Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6 months for her who said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, a child leaped in her womb. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child of my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations shall call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones, and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants, forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. My friends, to the word of God, to the people of God, thanks be to God. All right. So this morning we continue our journey to Bethlehem. And last week we met Elizabeth and Zechariah. You may recall they were an older couple. Zechariah was a priest. And on one day he wins the lottery and gets to go into the sanctuary area there and to burn incense. And what should be a very short and sweet event, burn incense and come out and bless the people. And Zechariah gets surprised when the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Your wife will give birth to a son. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb on. You're to name him John. And his job is to lead a great revival in the land of Israel, to turn people back to the Lord their God in preparation for the coming of the Messiah." And then old Zachariah makes a terrible mistake and says, well, how's that going to work? I'm old. My wife, she's old too. No. And the angel said, you don't know who you're talking to. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And he's the one who told me to deliver this message. But because you doubted, you won't be able to speak until this child is born. And so the folks are outside wondering what's going on with Zachariah. No, what's taking so long? Did he have a heart attack? Did he break a leg or something? Did we need to call 911 to go check on him? And when Zachariah came out and couldn't speak, they realized he has seen a vision. He goes home. When his time is up, Elizabeth becomes pregnant and goes in hiding and says, the Lord has looked favorably upon me. Well, now we fast forward 6 months later, and Gabriel is now sent to a little town called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is on the wrong side of the tracks because when you look at John's gospel, when Philip runs to Nathanael and says, we found a Messiah, it's a guy by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And old Nathanael says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? And I remember one time at Keith, Pastor Will Sheldon was preaching this Nazareth. And then for reference, he said, that'd be like, can anything good come from Calhoun? And he goes, where's Tim at? You know, just use me as an example, right? Because we're on the edge of the county. You know, and so we're talking about Nazareth, and it's down in the backwaters and a small town, you know, not very impressive. And you have a young lady by the name of Mary. No, her Hebrew name would be Miriam. Miriam was the big sister of Moses and a prophetess, a very popular name, big name Miriam. That's why there's so many Marys in the New Testament. And then the angel appears to her and says, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. You know, and Mary's perplexed. And the angel says, do not be afraid. And how many times I've said at Christmas, you know, when the angels appear, about the first thing they always say is, don't be afraid. We think of angels as these nice, cute little things with wings flying around. But in reality, they are very powerful beings and holy. And should you see an angel, it would get your attention and scare you. And the angel delivers this great news and says, and now you will conceive your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Okay? Now, Jesus is a Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua. Now, remember, Joshua led the people across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. It means God saves. Another popular name. And he will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And you remember, all this past summer, we've been looking at the life of King David. And why was David so written about in the Old Testament? Because he was the king. He was the founder of that monarchy. Very important person. And the Lord God made a promise to David that one of your descendants will always be on the throne. And we're seeing this fulfillment to the birth of Jesus. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Okay? And remember who Jacob was. Later on, talk about Abraham. And so, remember, have Abraham and Sarah, who were unable to have children. And God told Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. Through you, all nations shall be blessed. And you'll be the father of many nations. And to fulfill that promise is through the birth of Jesus. Through his birth, all nations will be blessed. And, of course, Abraham had a son named Isaac, whom he was tried offering as a sacrifice. And Isaac had a son named Jacob, who the Lord changed to Israel. And Israel had 12 sons, that's the 12 tribes of Israel. And so he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary asks a question, and it's not out of doubt, it was kind of like, I'm not sure I'm hearing this right. How can this be, since I am a virgin? Now, every year at Christmas time, on the history or historical channels, other channels, you'll hear some atheist person saying, the reason Christians believe in the virgin birth because they did not know where babies come from. Well, we know that's not true because Joseph sure knew where babies came from, right? And that's why he's thinking about filing for divorce. Mary knew where babies came from, and that's why she was asking the question. It's like, I'm still a virgin, so how's this going to work out? And listen to this response. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. And there we have clues to the nature of the Trinity. We have God, the Heavenly Father. You have the child inside Mary, the Son. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Okay, a little while ago, Herb led us into our Apostles' Creed, where we say we believe he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born the Virgin Mary. Okay, you know. No, that is a statement you can plug out of these two verses right here, just how that went down. And then the angel tells her something else that's very interesting. And now your relative Elizabeth, her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. And verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. All right, now a little fun trivia. If you like classic movies, there's a movie called Cool Hand Luke. And Luke on the back of his shirt has number 37. And I've read it's based on Luke 1:37, being nothing possible with God. It's a little subliminal message. And so here the angel tells Mary something that can be tested, right? Now we really can't test this whole being filled with the Holy Spirit stuff. But this mention though says, you have a cousin named Elizabeth. She's 6 months pregnant. Huh. Well, we can figure that out if that's true or not. And then what did Mary say? Verse 38. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Now, we have a song in the hymn book about how, here I am, Lord, send me. And remember how the prophet Isaiah, when the Lord called him, said, here I am, Lord, send me. When the Lord calls you to a task, the best thing you can do is say, here I am. And I know growing up, I've heard testimonies from preachers who get up and go on about how they got called to preach. And they say, I fought the call, and I fought the call, and I fought the call. And it's almost like they were bragging about it. And I'm thinking, well, that's nothing to be bragging about. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Moses did the same thing for 3 chapters. But the best response is what Mary did when she said, here I am. Lord, whatever you need me to do, sign me up. And so Mary says, well, I need to go pay Cousin Elizabeth a visit. You know, I'm going to make sure, no, I'm not just hearing some craziness here. And so she drops in for an unannounced visit. And I really like, if you ever see the TV movie, Jesus of Nazareth, 1977, where you have Mary come in the house, and Elizabeth is coming down the stairway to greet her. And at one point, she kind of pauses and catches herself, and Mary's eyes get this big. And she's like, it's true. And Elizabeth's like, well, how do you know this, you know? And so she goes in and says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the little unborn John the Baptist leapt with joy in the womb, okay? And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And exclaimed a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? Now, I realize in some Christian circles, they go way overboard with their beliefs about Mary, and they believe stuff that has been added on through the centuries. But here is a good summation of why I think it's scriptural. Is that you can't call her the Blessed Mother. She was a mother, and she was blessed by the Lord to be the mother of Jesus. And first, her as the mother of our Lord. And I think that's a good term. Say, no, she's the mother of our Lord. The mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. When you get some of these other titles that people have come up through the years, I feel like you're on very shaky ground. But those two titles, saying she's blessed, the mother of our Lord Jesus, you can say that, and you're on solid ground. And she tells Mary, said, as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed there be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. you know, Mary, you believed. Zechariah, he didn't believe. He can't talk. But you believed, and you're blessed for that. And then we had the scripture that we read earlier as a group, and I read to you, the Magnificent, where Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. No, surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And again, that's why I think it's okay to call her the Blessed Mother. Why? For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Okay? And the reason she's blessed, why? Because the Mighty One, the Lord, has done great things for her, and holy is His name. So no, she's saying, I'm blessed, but she points it back to the blesser. His mercy is for those who fear Him, from generation to generation. Remember in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, where God talks about how sometimes the punishment for sin will fall on the third and fourth generation because sin has a tendency to mess up your kids and great-grandkids. But he says, I show grace and mercy upon the thousands of generations to those who love and fear me. Mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And it talks about how he's shown strength in his arm. He's scattered the proud in their thoughts. He's brought down the power from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and the rich away empty. Why? He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to descendants forever. See, Mary ties it all the way back to the book of Genesis. When the Lord told Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations. And Abraham laughed, like, how's that going to happen, you know? Now, your wife, Sarah, will have give birth to a son, and you will name him Isaac, which is Hebrew for laughter, because you both laugh at this ideal. And I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and through you all nations shall be blessed. And so here in this Luke chapter 1, we see fulfillment of all these promises. The promise to Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. Through you, all nations shall be blessed. The promise to Jacob, when Jacob wrestled with the Lord, and the Lord promised that the covenant with Abraham will go to him next. The promise to King David, David, as long as you serve me, I shall assure you that one of your descendants will be on the throne of Israel. All these promises from the book of Genesis and 2 Samuel find their fulfillment in the coming of Jesus. And who are the two people who brought this about? Mary and Elizabeth. Now, if we took a time machine, went back in time, we asked people in Jerusalem, who's the two most powerful people in your society today? They said, well, that'd be the Emperor Caesar Augustus and King Herod the Great here in Jerusalem. Well, Caesar Augustus, we say about him in world history, and then we're kind of finished with him. Let's say for the month of August, right, we go back to school, because that's named after him. And then King Herod the Great, we talk about him about once a year in December and January, dealing with the Christmas story. What the world did not realize, that the two most important people on that planet at that point was not the emperor in his palace in Rome. It was not King Herod the Great in his palace in Jerusalem. The two most important people on the planet was a little old lady living outside the city limits of Jerusalem in the hill country named Elizabeth, and a teenager living in that rough section of town in Nazareth. Why were they the most two important people on the planet? Because Elizabeth would give birth to John the Baptist, who will lead a great spiritual revival in the land of Israel. And Mary would give birth to Jesus, the promised Messiah, the one who promised to come to live for us, to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried on the third day, rose again. The world looked and thought Caesar Augustus and King Herod the Great were the two most powerful world changers. But 2,000 years later, we can look back and go, wasn't them. It was Elizabeth and Mary, two humble ladies, one old, one young, who were humble enough and obedient enough to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm ready to do your will. Amen." All right, if it's time.